Welcome this morning as we gather together to receive the blessings of God through the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and reception of the sacrament of the altar. Let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, February 1st, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Josh Hellman. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 394, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, hymn number 394 in the Lutheran Service Book. The family of Helen Mox is sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God in remembrance of Helen's February 4th birthday.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious to, merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill?
He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart.
Who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend.
In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change.
Who does not put out his money at interest, who does not take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. God on high. Be with you.
And with your spirit.
us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Micah, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent Moses before you and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Apostles' Creed, what is the first article?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
The epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, stumbling blocks to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in the one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 683, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me, hymn number 683 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we're taking a look at this beatitude or this blessed statement. And I want you to notice that these blessed statements, the first one for sure, and the others too, are, they're objective conditions, right? Poor in spirit, meek, hungry, thirsting for righteousness. No, these are the statements of a person's objective condition. Now, who was the people that Jesus was ministering to? Okay, so he was ministering to the lame, he was ministering to the blind, to the deaf, to lepers, even to the dead, for he called the dead back to life. They all had conditions that needed curing. The same objective character applies to the poor who received the good news. As Jesus said to John the Baptizer's disciples, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. There it is. The poor have good news preached to them. Now, when poor is used in this sense here, that does not necessarily mean the cash poor, but the spiritually poor. To be spiritually poor is the equivalent of being spiritually destitute, without resource, without the things that one needs in the spiritual realm. Those who are poor in spirit must have their spiritual needs provided for them by another. They are sinners who are called by God. They need to be forgiven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said. What does that acknowledge? That acknowledges original sin. Jesus is acknowledging we have original sin. And who are the poor in spirit? If there's original sin, who are the poor in spirit? That's everybody. That's all of us. Every human being that ever was, is, and will be are the poor in spirit. All people are incapable of paying their own sins. All people are spiritually destitute. Jesus has come to pay for our sins. He has come to pay the price that we could not pay. So the kingdom of heaven, who does it belong to? The kingdom of heaven belongs to people who recognize and understand that they have no spiritual resources of their own. When you get to the point of understanding that you need a Savior, right? So this is what the law does, right? The law accuses, the law kills, the law brings us to the point where we understand that we can't do this on our own. We can't keep the law. We can't fulfill all righteousness. It brings us down to where we humbly repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. When we get to that point where we understand we need a Savior, then comes the promise that already right now, the blessings of heaven belong to you. That is, when you confess, when you recognize your own inability to believe on your own or to grasp the faith by your own power or strength, it is then that yours is the kingdom of heaven. So it says in the meaning of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, do we not say, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. I can't do it. Not a lick. I can't. Therefore, I am spiritually poor. So it's not necessarily, so to speak, about me. It's about what God has done for me, what he has done. Who is helpless? Who is the man lying in the road on the way to Jerusalem, beaten and bloodied, unable to save himself? to the one who does not work but believes in the one who justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted as righteousness. And just as King David speaks the blessing on the one whom God counts as righteous apart from the works of the law, he said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count his sin against him. Blessed are the spiritually poor," and recognize it. Blessed? Why are they blessed? Why are they blessed? Because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It is their present possession. And you note that word, is. It is theirs. The word is a present tense word. Is theirs. Present possessive. The kingdom of heaven belongs now to the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven. Not an earthly kingdom, but God's kingdom. Now you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? What happened when he did that? What were the people going to do? They were going to come in a group. They were going to grab a hold of him. They were going to force him to be king. And what did he do when that? He recognized that that was going on? He withdrew from the people. Or in Luke, when the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come, and Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And very clearly, Jesus was asked if he was a king. He told Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Not of this world. But what did the disciples of Jesus experience that convinced them that they were of the kingdom of heaven? What did Jesus do? What was going on? They saw the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus healed the paralyzed man, what did Jesus do first? Jesus first addressed his most important issue, his most important problem. Jesus said to him, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." The disciples witnessed physical healings as they traveled Galilee with Jesus. And as he preached the word to the people, he ministered to the sick and the diseased, those with chronic pain, the epileptics, the paralytics, those oppressed with demons. The disciples were given inspired or divinely inspired knowledge. When Jesus was asked why he spoke in parables, what did he say? He said, To you, my disciples, has been given the knowledge to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given." Right. It has been given. From who? From where? From the Holy Spirit. From God the Father. The knowledge that the disciples had was a given knowledge. It's not something they figured out on their own. The knowledge was given to them. And recall Peter's confession. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say to him? "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The disciples became convinced of what they had seen and heard, that the kingdom of God was among them. And Jesus, as he walked among them, was bringing the kingdom of God. And yet here we are, thousands of years later. We do not have Jesus walking the dusty roads of Lincoln with us. We have his word and his sacrament. So what about us? We live in the great, what we call the great now, not yet. Think of it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Each of us, conceived and born in original sin, are brought into the kingdom of God through the waters of holy baptism. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, and you are heirs of the promise. This is who you are. You also are of the kingdom of God. For you confess that you are poor, miserable sinners, that there's nothing within you that can appease the wrath of God, that it must be done by someone outside of you. Each of us, we were brought to baptism by God's Holy Spirit, working through the Word in our parents, or in we ourselves if you came as an adult convert to the faith of Christianity. We who are poor, we who are broken, we who are lost in the guilt and poverty of our own sin, now have the kingdom of God as our possession. We are given the power of the Holy Spirit for faith and obedience, along with the nourishment of the sacrament of the altar, in which Christ gives us his very own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and the confidence of life everlasting. In this sacrament, Christ's saving death is proclaimed, and his fruits of his atonement are distributed to us. In repentant faith, we who were formerly destitute, with no ability of our own to believe, now receive Christ. We receive his body and his blood, the fruits of his atonement. That is, the forgiveness of your sins is distributed to you, the repentant believer. So if you want to know what the kingdom of heaven looks like, sit down in your pew and watch communion. Because that's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. It looks like your neighbor reverently coming to the sacrament of the altar, holding forth their hands, receiving the body of Jesus Christ, receiving the blood of Jesus Christ, receiving it for the forgiveness of our sins. Because they would not come forward if they did not believe they were poor, miserable sinners needing the forgiveness of their sin. That's what it looks like when you yourself come forward. You are a receiver of the gift of God, the forgiveness of your sins and life everlasting. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In the first beatitude, Jesus' teaching is reinforced. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven stands near. And in this first of the beatitudes, we find a word of grace. The reign of heaven belongs to those who have no spiritual resources of their own, but rather who receive what it is that the Lord gives. So let us come before the Lord our God with empty hands, we who sorrow over our sins, and yes, even we who are sorrowing over our lack of sorrow. Let us come and receive the riches of the kingdom of God. For in the kingdom of God, forgiveness and eternal life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. We pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you have called us to good work in our various vocations in life. Give us courage that we might never be ashamed of Christ and Him crucified, but be free to boast in the Lord within our callings. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
God of all wisdom, you tell us plainly that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but it is your power to all who are being saved. Strengthen the faith of pastors and congregations, that they would not turn to man-made wisdom, but boldly proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you sent your Son as the Savior of the world, that all the families of the nations might worship before you. Bless the families of this congregation with your grace and protection, that they might remember you in both joy and trouble, and worship before you forevermore. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord of Lords, as you rejoice in families, accept the praise of Ron and Lana Goldhammer as they thank you for the birth of a great-grandson, Colton Goldhammer, born to their grandson Brandon and his wife Alyssa. We thank you for the blessing that this child is and pray for he and his mother's continued health and well-being, and ask that Colton be brought swiftly to the waters of holy baptism, there to be made your child and an heir of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, when Christ returns in his glory, you promise to wipe away every tear from every eye. Comfort those who mourn, specifically the family of John Beaver as they grieve his death, and yet with confidence in the resurrection, they look forward to a glorious reunion on the day of eternal life. Heal and deliver, O Lord, according to your good and gracious will, those who are troubled by sickness and affliction, that they may commend themselves into your almighty care. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God of all righteousness, you command us to be holy as you are holy, and you sanctify us with your Son's body and blood. Prepare the hearts of all who partake of the sacrament today, that they might repent of their sin, trust in your promises, and find their righteousness in Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Father, you know the way of the righteous. Preserve your people from walking in the counsel of the wicked, from standing in the way of sinners, and from sitting in the seat of scoffers. By your grace, cause them to delight in your holy word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. past me, departing is thank you. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in His peace. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 848, Lord, Whose Love Through Humble Service, hymn number 800 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Some of our announcements this morning. Meg, would you like to go first today?
Come on up, Elizabeth. Do you want us to be up here?
Yes.
Breakfast is 1 week away, actually a little less than 1 week away, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll be serving Hormigas Twinkies and, I guess, more so cream of sausage is what we are. So we still have tickets available. I'll have some kids out there selling tickets. You can buy tickets at the door. You can buy tickets throughout the week. My biggest plug is frozen meat. A guaranteed frozen meat order needs to be turned in today because John is taking hogs tomorrow to Atlanta. One other thing is, if for the nostalgia purpose, if you'd like to be a part of the breakfast, you know, come and volunteer for the day. I've got plenty of volunteer openings available. So come see me, shoot me a text, send me an email for any of that, and I'd love to have you join us on Saturday.
Thank you, Megan. And then I just had the Challenge Committee side and the Pancake and Sausage Breakfast to remind about. The first is sponsorships. We are turning in our big placemat piece to Lincoln Printers tomorrow. So if you are interested in being an event sponsor, a hog sponsor, or a placement sponsor, today's your day because we're printing them out tomorrow. So see Megan or I after church if you want to do that. The next is the bake sale. So the bake sale usually generates over $1,000, and I was thinking that's a lot of baked items that we have in order to get to that $1,000. So if you are interested in doing the bake sale, we don't have a sign up this time. So just come to school on Friday between 3 and 5 o'clock to drop off your bake sale items individually wrapped. We'll price them for you. Or you can bring them at any point on Saturday. That table clears out pretty fast, so we're always happy to restock the table. But cookies, cakes, pies, breads, snack mixes, anything that you enjoy making, bring. We will be very happy to sell for you. And then I know that I have three things. So that's one, two. The last is silent auction. So silent auction-wise, we've been collecting items. We could still use several more baskets. So if you are interested in donating anything, including a basket, gift certificate to your favorite place to go eat, whatever it is that you might want to donate for us, again, bring that by Friday. Ideally by Wednesday, we make bed sheets for everything, so just bring it out to the school when you are able this week. That'd be a great help for us. And then the last thing is about breakfast, but it's not about the pancake and sausage breakfast. We are upcoming to our breakfast and board games, our senior and youth group event. That is February 22nd, and that will be a breakfast here at the church. We have a sign-up sheet already out today, so if you are interested in attending, please sign your name, and if you have any food allergies, let us know. And both, we would like for both the seniors who plan to attend and for the youth who plan to work and be a part of it to sign so we can make sure we have enough food prepared. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's a day, it's a breakfast that we do after second service, February 22nd. The youth will serve breakfast, and then we have all sorts of games, and the highlight is usually bingo. We have prizes, but it's a great way for our youth to interact with some of the other members in our church.
I'm going to put one more thing in. For transportation on Saturday with the breakfast, we have the parking lot all cleared off, but I'm sure plenty of you don't want to probably park in the snow and walk through the snow. So Katrina Hellman will be driving a bus back and forth from farm and home to our school that day. It is a free shuttle, so if the parking lot's full, park over at farm and home and bring the shuttle across, and she'll take you back, and it's a nice warm transportation.
Thank you, ladies. Betsy, if you would step up to Betsy's come representing property and maintenance.
So on behalf of property maintenance, and I'm going to stick to the topic of food, since that's what we've been talking about. Okay, property maintenance custodian, when you go to coffee hour, I would really appreciate it if you would pick up icing that drops on the floor from your donut. Okay, that is a big issue here, and the carpet was just cleaned about 2 weeks ago. So if you'd be so kind, adults and children, to pick up the icing off your donut. If you spill coffee or a drink, please go to the kitchen, get a wet rag or something to sop it up. That would be very much appreciated. Thank you very much.
And as a dad myself, I'm a firm believer in the 3-second rule. Got to stretch that to 3-minute rule for myself. You know, if I can beat the dog to it, I'll eat it. So, pick up that ice and pop it in. Build your antibodies up. I would like to point out this morning that pay attention to the QR code that's in the bulletin. An online giving page has been developed, and we'll be introducing that. A lot of folks, don't carry cash on themselves. They don't write checks anymore. This is a way to give your offering, especially, if you're a college student and you are in and out of church, being gone and whatever, use the QR code and give your offering that way. So please pay attention to that. Junior high and senior high youth groups will be meeting in Mrs. Meyer's opening room to do Valentine's for shut-ins. And then for those who have paid their money already and turned in the permission slips, the youth groups are going to Sky Zone this afternoon, so meet in the church parking lot there in the back at 1 o'clock and an estimated 4:15 return. Two more things. One, I brought this out. Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on this. This is a box of communion cups. Right. It is an empty box of communion cups. A couple years ago, I noticed this box sitting in the sacristy, and it says on there, "Do not use, too short." They don't fit in the tray here. And I thought that would be great for me to use for shut-in calls and home visits and nursing home visits. Under the auspices of this congregation, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I would like to announce that I have now, based on the contents of this box, given communion over 1,000 times, because there are 1,000 cups in here. 1,000 times to the sick, to the shut-in, to those in the hospital, to those who are in nursing homes. And that doesn't count the common cup that I use. So 1,000 plus times over the last couple of years. I wish I would have put a date on here when I started using it. I didn't think about it until I was a year or two into that. But I'm just, thank you. Thank you for the blessing of being your servant to be able to take communion to those who aren't able to get here. And then on the second thing, many of you may have heard and many of you may not have heard of the issues going on in the Central Illinois District at this time. Our district president was arrested by federal agents last week sometime and is in jail in St. Louis. Okay. I'm not going to go into everything that he's charged with at this point because of the ages of the people who are in here, but I did print out the letter from the synodical president, and that letter is on the synod's website, but I printed it out and I pinned it to the board that's there outside of the kitchen. So the big green board outside the kitchen, go through the double doors of the auditorium and go towards the back door, and the letter from the synodical president is there for you to read that. So, and may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.